This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchise members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step. Bringing Christmas to you all year long, but especially taking a break right now and enjoying this Christmas season, especially with the news we've got to share with you today. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by epostle.net. As the young lady said, it's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Epostle. So if you're ready, I know I am. Got my Christmas boots on too. It's kind of cold out here. Let's take the next step. Hey, so good to have you with us today. I hope you're staying nice and warm. It is really cold over here, and it is in Southern California that I say that, so that is really kind of an oddity. Yes, even in December, we have our Southern California moments. I remember a couple of years ago running air conditioning on New Year's Day here in Southern California, but today is a cold one. I wouldn't even think of air conditioning. I would like to think of nice heaters, but right now we are at Epostle East today. Yes, we are in the studio in Pasadena, and there is absolutely no heat right now, but I'm taking advantage of the early morning to get this out because I'm having some dental work in just a few hours, and I don't know what condition that's going to leave my mouth in. I know some okay, Ken, stop it. Okay, yeah, some of you thinking, okay, yeah, maybe that'll be an improvement. But anyway, you know that awful feeling about having your lower lip just fallen off. But that's not what we're going to be talking about today. We've got so much to share with you today. We've got Ani with her bubbles, a nice little bubble that's coming your way, and we've got all kinds of stuff. But I don't think that there is anything more exciting than the news that I woke up with this morning. I'm sure you've heard it by now, and that's that. The war is over.
So this is Christmas, the weak and fall strong, the rich and the poor ones. The world is so long, and so happy Christmas.
The war is over. If you want it, they tell us. Of course we want it. But at least for this morning, we got up with the news that the war is over. The last of the American troops are loading up right now as we're recording right now. What is today? December 15th. They are loading up in Iraq and getting ready to get out of the country. And I know it's arguable. Is the war really over? I mean, all the aftermath, what's going to happen now? Sometimes there's the argument that wars can never be over, of course, until the human spirit develops its condition and reaches beyond itself. Of course, the war is not over for the many families who've had incredible losses, both civilian losses as well as military losses. They gave us some numbers this morning. It's always interesting at the end of these kind of events, these kind of wars, how everything comes down to a few numbers. Something like 1.5 million troops were committed to battle during the last 8 years. There was over 4,000 deaths, soldier deaths, of course. I'm not talking about the thousands of Iraqi deaths, the thousands of children, the thousands of families that were torn apart. But they give us the numbers, you know, 4,000 soldiers. And these are kids that will never go beyond 20, 21, 22 years old. They gave us numbers of... Well, the cost, right? I know. It comes down to the dollar amount. And I saw the dollar amount is in my head right now. $800 billion to wage this war in Iraq. $800 billion that didn't go to education, didn't go to feeding the hungry. You know the poverty rate right now in the United States? 1 in 2. Yeah. That was on the news, too. Didn't get too much press this morning, but 1 in 2 people are in really bad situation right now. Economically, yeah, there's a number they give you. It's called the poverty index or something. And they were showing some kind of statistic. I didn't get the entire gist of it, but it was 1 in 2, yeah. People that are poorer than they were last year this time. Poorer than they were a year before. And you talk about all the... Well, you know, it's interesting because people don't put these numbers together. They show you on one screen $800 billion spent for a war. And connect the dots, right? That's $800 billion that was not spent for, well, higher education. For disease control. For food. For supplementing incomes. And I know. This is the capitalistic dilemma. And then you get into communism and you get into socialism. All kinds of stuff that right now, as a podcast that is dealing with the spiritual world, is saying that, okay, all of that exists, but there is a higher dimension. If we can call people to be, before they are socialists and capitalists, can they be people? People with conscience. People who have heart. People who care about one another. Care beyond themselves. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed, says our Lord Jesus Christ. But when it dies, it produces much harvest. He, of course, talking about himself dying in the crucifixion and ultimately resurrecting with a plentiful harvest. But think about it in your own lives. Once you start giving, once you start sacrificing, you become that grain of wheat who basically dies. Kills the self. And once the self is eliminated, what happens? You have an opportunity to produce. You have an opportunity to produce much harvest. That is beyond the self. And so this is the dilemma. This is what we deal with. And here on The Next Step, I'm dealing with it every week. Because I feel like before we start talking about wars, before we start talking about resolving situations by sheer force and might is right, let's start talking about solving our dilemmas internally as people so that we can become people. We can become human beings. We can become people of compassion, caring and loving one another. And in that love, finding the solutions, the big solutions, because I'm convinced that there can come a day when we can put down the weapons, when we can put down those guns. But it begins by all of us. I got to tell you a funny story. Here in Glendale, we're going to be having our small Christmas party for our church. It's I've spoken about it many times, the St. Peter Youth Ministry Center, where these podcasts, where our In Issues ministry, everything evolves. And once a year we get together and we have a small little Christmas party. We bring in a band and we have a little bit of entertainment and get together. And one of the local politicians, this is a true story. This has happened. One of the local politicians, and I won't mention his name, his office calls up and he says, "We want to come and honor somebody in your church." And I said, "Well, what's the deal? Why?" "Well, because congressman or assemblyman, excuse me, wants to honor somebody." And now here's somebody. Now, you got to remember, I've shared with you all kinds of stuff that takes place out of our youth ministry center. I mean, we feed the homeless. We're out there championing causes on a global scale like Darfur. And we've got people that are with us. You know, we've got Adam Schiff, United States congressman. We've got Senator Liu, who provides us with all kinds of stuff. And these are people that are helping and understand us. But now here's this assemblyman wanting to come to our event, to our Christmas party, to make a speech, obviously. And the only way that he knows how to make that speech is by honoring somebody. So we told him that, well, you know, thank you very much, but, you know, this is our Christmas party and we're not really interested. They actually argued with us. Like, what do you have against the assemblyman? Well, we don't have anything against the assemblyman. We are a church. What is this thing about coming to our church and talking? Oh, well, yeah. Well, we know it's election year. We know that there's elections. We're not that stupid. But it's just amazing that they think we're that stupid. You know, that's the wild part about it. They think, well, you're a church, and so you can't have so much, you can't have enough self-worth that you need somebody like a politician to come and validate you, to come and say that, hey, you know, you did good. Here's a commendation from the politician.
I'm a political man. I want to just show you what my politics are.
Who needs that? The only commendation you care about is, can you look in the mirror and feel good about who you see in there? Do you care that God cares about you? And so you need to care about yourself. You know, if you've got God with you, what do you care about? If a politician, if he's a congressman, an assemblyman, what do you care about anybody else? You know you are chosen of God. And if you want the proof of that, hey, lift up your shirt. Look at that little belly button you got over there. My mom used to tell us, you know, we'd be in an assembly line. And God, before he sends you down to earth, he pokes you and he says, you're okay. There's the belly button over there. And if the dough is cooked, you get an innie. And if the dough is a little bit undercooked, you get an outie. God's finger sticks to it and it comes out. But the bottom line is, he says, you're okay. You know, take that, Mr. Politician. That's all it's about. You know, Armadoxy's not about fairy tales. It's not about dough cooking or none cooking. Armadoxy's about connecting the dots. Armadoxy's about taking that ancient faith that has saved people, that talks about peace, that faith that is based on this very basic element that we are all on this planet together as brothers and sisters. We call a father, a mutual father. We call him up in heaven. Therefore, each and every one of us are brothers and sisters, and we don't have a right to kill or impose our will or rape anyone in this world. And so once we get that through our head, what happens next? We have the opportunity to rise to the occasion, to become the humans that we are intended to be. That's how simple it is. Can we get into that? Well, we certainly like to think we're doing that. That's what this next step is about. That's what Armadoxy is about. That's what we preach about. Not interested in bringing in politics. God bless you all. Whatever you have to do to make the country work, to make your communities work, you need to do it. But there is something higher than that. That's the human condition, the human soul, that is in need of repair and it is in need of healing.
I'm a political man. I want to judge.
You want to show me what your politics are? Okay, I know what your politics are. Hey, we have got a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about, well, the whole church condition, about being able to stand in front of God, to be able to really appreciate one another within the church environment. And I'm not talking about who we see in the pews alone. I'm talking about in this world. Some little events that took place. Last night we were discussing at our Questions in Faith series, we were looking at the book of Acts, chapter 9, specifically the conversion of Saul. And it was an interesting moment when we started realizing that he was accepted within the community. And of course, we had our children's memorial just a few days ago, and I want to share with you some insights on that, and a beautiful miracle that took place over there too. And basically, to put it all together, when I talk big about, like, hey, we're talking about the human condition, I think you'll see with the small examples that I bring today that it is possible. It is not just pie in the sky. It is something that is very very attainable. Hey, we start off every show with a song of the day. It's the Christmas season. How about a little Christmas cheer from one of my favorites, Johnny Bilezikchin? Johnny Bilezikchin is the artist, the oud artistry of Johnny Bilezikchin. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, now do you understand what I'm talking about when we talk about armodoxy here? It's like taking the old, connecting the dots with the new, bringing in your flavor, and just combining it and making it just, well, a piece of art. And that's what life can be too, right? There you have it. What child is this? Old green sleeves, brought today. With a new beat, with a new melody, with a new harmony, so to speak. That is off of John Bilezikchin's Merry Christmas album. We'll put a link on our show notes today, so you could check out that as well as all of his wonderful music. It gets us in the spirit, and I do want to talk about some of the spiritual stuff that's taking place. Because, you know, we get to Christmas time, and I know I got a lot of response from last week, and I appreciate it. I know we're on the right track. We're talking about the Christmas catalog and being able to reach out to other people, and I surely appreciate it. I know that Susie's put a link on our website and on our Facebook, and that is getting all kinds of stuff. Let me make a real quick plug for that. You know, we have the Yvette Hagopian toy drive every year. This is a young lady who was killed in an act of domestic violence a couple years ago, and we named a toy drive after her at our church, and we're collecting toys for the children of domestic violence. These are children that are in the shelters, and the interesting thing about it is that up until last year, you could do that by coming down to the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale and bringing your toy, and we've been collecting hundreds of toys. Last year, we put a link connecting it with Amazon, and this year, Susie has resurrected that link. So all you have to do is go on Amazon and check out the St. Peter Armenian Church page, and you can order toys. But let me tell you quickly, you have to make sure that the toys get to us in Glendale by December 21st. That is the absolute deadline, because we have to wrap them up and get them ready for those kids, and they will have an incredible Christmas morning. They will have a Christmas morning like, well, you can't even imagine it. These are kids that are completely neglected. These are not the pretty kids. These are not the soft kids. These are the big kids. These are the kids that basically everybody forgets about. These are the ones that aren't pretty. They're not cute. They've been beaten. They've been thrown into the small little areas. And they've seen all kinds of trauma. And the small little gift that you're going to provide for them will change their life, guaranteed. And we've been doing this now for several years. We attach the Yvette Hagopian name to it a couple years ago after that tragic and senseless killing. And anyway, it's a beautiful opportunity for you to give and really make the Christmas spirit alive, not only in your life, but in the lives of others. Last Sunday night, we had the commemoration, the Children's Memorial Commemoration. Now, let me preface this by saying that last night we were studying the book of Acts, chapter 9. And in there, there's an interesting little episode that takes place. This is right after the conversion of Saul. Now, if you remember, if your Bible history is in place, and you know Acts is the only history book in the entire New Testament, it's basically history, the history of the early church, the first church, post-resurrection, a few months after Jesus' resurrection. And there you have it. You have this guy named Saul, who just basically hates Christians, grinds his teeth, and he's out to kill Christians. And so he has his conversion on the road to Damascus. And all of a sudden, you see that his eyes are blinded by the light. Thank you. Yes, Ken is just so good today. Ken, you are just so good today. What's going on today? I like it. A politician and now blinded by the light. Wow. Okay, so he's on the road to Damascus, and Saul is blinded by the light, and he goes blind for 3 days until there is a message that is being sent to a guy named Ananias, who's been told, go and heal Paul. Go and heal Saul, excuse me. I'm getting ahead of the game, aren't I? And Ananias says, I can't go heal him. This is the guy that hates Christians. He's out there grinding his teeth, and he's ready to kill all of us. And the message comes to him loud and clear. No, I have chosen him. You don't know what I have in store for you. I have chosen this guy to do a job. Your job is to go and heal him. And so after Saul is converted and he is baptized, he returns to the community of the apostles. And of course, there's a lot of skepticism. Rightly so, right? I'd be skeptical too. Here's a guy that just hates Christians, and now he's saying that he's converted, and he's saying that, you know, he's been baptized, and he's now a proponent of Christianity and preaching Jesus Christ. And so there's a lot of skepticism, there's a lot of doubt, but they accept him in the community, and he starts becoming a member of the Christian community. Now, I want to contrast this with what's so prevalent in so many churches. You know, when newcomers come, when people come in, are we really up to opening up? Are we really opening up ourselves, our hearts, our people, our congregations, our doors, in the sense that the early Christian community did too? In other words, realizing that we are all sinners. We are all in this boat together. This is one of the beauties of Armadoxy and what I was explaining a few minutes ago, that we're all brothers and sisters in this world, that basically we are all have our faults. Just this week, I officiated at a funeral for one of our dear Armenian mothers. I mean, when you talk about this generation, she was 92 years old. She passed away. Talk about that generation, the post-genocide generation. You know, what an incredible generation. I call them the God generation. And think about that for a moment. What did God do? He took nothing and he created something. God took nothing and made something. And that's what that generation of people did, that post-genocide generation. They took nothing and created something. They created a life. And having every reason to complain, having every possible reason to protest against God, instead, they turned their protest to prayer. And they prayed. They thanked God. And anyway, the point was at this funeral, I'm going through one of the prayers of the Armenian church, and it's Vasansi ove mart vor getsei evochmeritse. There's a prayer in there. It's almost like you're philosophizing with God, and you're saying, God, forgive this person of any sins that he or she may have committed, because who is it that lives and does not sin? Interesting, huh? You're telling God what he already knows. But maybe that's the point that I bring up in Armadoxy all the time, isn't it? Prayer is not about just conversation with God. It's conversation with ourselves. So we know what we're talking about. Who is it that lives and does not sin? Think about that for a moment. No one. No one is sinless. And so we're all in this boat together. This boat, it's called the Good Ship Earth. And we're on it together. And we're forging forward. We're going forward in time. And the only way that it won't sink The only way that we'll make it through time is for us to, well, to reach out to one another, to become one another's own life raft, so to speak, to continue the metaphor, to reach out and help one another and realize we're all in it together. There is nobody who doesn't sin. So if you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, then we've got an equal playing field, right? There is only God above, and we are all brothers and sisters on this ship, working forward, working through our lives, and reaching out to one another. And so it was with Saul, okay? He was selected, and it wasn't anybody else's business what he was selected about. That's what's beautiful about that story. The angel says, and Ananias, you know, lay off. God has selected this man. You don't know what it's about. Your job is to go over there and just give him sight. And we had a similar incident that took place last Sunday evening. That's what I wanted to share with you. Okay, so here we are. We do this children's memorial. I've shared this with you. I've shared it in the last couple podcasts as well. A young girl named Katya Hamparian, 15 years ago, passed away in an accident, tragically. And every year we get together on the second Sunday of December, because there is an opportunity for us to what we call the Children's Memorial. The second Sunday of December, then President Clinton named that Sunday, to be an opportunity for parents to get together and to share with one another. And we called it the Worldwide Celebration Candlelight. A group called Compassionate Friends, they got together and really kind of organized this opportunity to have candle lighting throughout the world. And I know so many of you participated. I know so many of you were engaged with us. We blogged about it. We talked about it last week in our show. But what happened was, in Glendale, we were standing there, and we've been in Glendale now for 9 years doing this. We have a small little church service, and then we go outside and we do our candle lighting. And there are different families that participate throughout the years. There have been families that have come. There have been families that maybe from a distance observe. There's one family that comes. It is a mother, and she stands there crying every year. She stands holding her candle and never says a word. Despite the hugs, despite people moving up to them and being compassionate and trying to talk, never says anything. And this year we were in circle. And many times when you organize these kind of things, because of the silence of people, it's very difficult to gauge whether your work is appreciated, whether your work is in vain or not. You know, I mean, that's a big question when there's silence out there. And we were standing there, and each parent participating in any way they wanted to, whether it was in silence or whether it was to offer a story or just a memory or just the name. And this woman who we had seen for the last 8 years, she spoke up and she remembered the name of her son. It was the first time that she had named her son. And she said it, I've been coming for 8 years, and it's the first time I'm naming my son. Son that I loved and I cared about and I lost. And you know what? Everything made sense at that moment. It was all worth it, because there was one star that was in the sky, and it was twinkling, and it was a beautiful star. It was almost that star that answered the prayers of every parent who has lost a child, that you're not alone, that our memory is not forgotten. And I know how difficult life must be, but you're getting through it. I went back, of course, and I thought of the Blessed Mother who stood at the foot of the cross and looked up to see her son going through incredible pain and torture and wondering, what's it all about? Why? Why do we have to go through this? Why the pain? Why the suffering? It's very difficult during the crucifixion to make sense out of life, out of what's going on. It's the resurrection that gives meaning to that crucifixion and to life. For me, I think last Sunday evening there was a resurrection that took place. In the small little message that that mother gave, remembering her son, it made sense that the resurrection was very real. And the connection there with Saul. Saul was accepted in the community. Despite his past, he was accepted. And there was a lot of doubt. There was a lot of question as to what he was doing there, but accepted. This mother came. She was quiet for 8 years. It'd be very easy to look beyond and say, okay, there's another victim. But instead, it is the compassionate community that comes together. It is what church is all about. The community of believers getting together and saying that Jesus Christ's love is greater than all of the hatred, than all of the evil, than even death. And Jesus Christ's love is what's going to shine through. And it is that love that shined through in her small expression to remember the name of her son. We're going to go to Ani's Bubbles in just a minute. Before we do that, you know, last week was also the commemoration of the Armenian earthquake that took place in 1988. That was one that really made, that has left a scar on my heart. I remember the stories. I remember being so actively engaged in it at that time as far as the relief activities and the relief efforts. And it was the commemoration, let's say the anniversary. There was no big hoopla. There was no commemoration. But we, in our turn at the Children's Memorial, remembered also those children that were lost in the earthquake, as well as those children lost in war, in famine, in genocide. The ones that don't have anybody to remember their names. And we commemorated the Armenian earthquake in a personal way. Here's Ani with today's Bubbles.
Are you going to help me? Today's Spiritual Bubble, a poem by Mark V. Hansen from Chicken Soup for the Soul. In 1989, an 8.2 earthquake almost flattened Armenia, killing over 30,000 people in less than 4 minutes. In the midst of utter devastation and chaos, a father left his wife securely at home and rushed to the school where his son was supposed to be, only to discover that the building was flat as a pancake. After the traumatic initial shock, he remembered the promise he had made to his son. No matter what, I'll always be there for you. And the tears began to fill his eyes. As he looked at the pile of debris that once was the school, it looked hopeless, but he kept remembering his commitment to his son. He began to concentrate on where he walked his son to class at school each morning, remembering his son's classroom would be in the back right corner of the building. He rushed there and started digging through the rubble. As he was digging, other forlorn parents arrived, clutching their hearts and saying, "My son, my daughter." Other well-meaning parents tried to pull him off of what was left of the school, saying, "It's too late. They're dead. You can't help. Go home. Come on, face reality. There's nothing you can do. You're just going to make things worse." To each parent, he responded with one line, "Are you going to help me now?" And he proceeded to dig for his son, stone by stone. The fire chief showed up and tried to pull him off the school debris, saying, "Fires are breaking out, explosions are happening everywhere. You're in danger. We'll take care of it. Go home." To which this loving, caring Armenian father asked, "Are you going to help me now?" The policeman came and said, "You're angry, distraught, and it's over. You're endangering others. Go home. We'll handle it." To which he replied, "Are you going to help me now?" No one helped. Courageously, he proceeded alone because he needed to know himself. Is my boy alive or is he dead? He dug for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours, and then, in the 38th hour, he pulled back a boulder, and heard his son's voice. He screamed his son's name, Armand, and he heard back, Dad? It's me, Dad. I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that we were alive, that you were alive, that you would save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved. You promised. No matter what, I'll always be there for you. You did it, Dad. What's going on in there? How is it? His father asked. There are 14 of us left out of 33, Dad. We're scared, hungry, thirsty, but thankful that you are here. When the building collapsed, it made a wedge, like a triangle, and it saved us. Come on out, boy. No, Dad. Let the other kids out first. Because I know you'll be here to get me. No matter what, I know you'll be here for me. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
How beautiful and how appropriate. In remembering the Armenian earthquake, in the anniversary of the Armenian earthquake, we have this lesson, a beautiful story, remind us, well, of the power of God. Really, we look at a small little example of a father, and you know what comes to my mind when I heard the story is that, you know, when Jesus says, you know how to take care of your children, how much more will your heavenly Father in heaven? You're his children, why wouldn't he take care of you? Trust, believe, have that faith. And I think this little story gives us exactly that example of having faith and belief. Don't worry about me. Take care of others because I know you are there. Thank you, Ani. Very appropriate bubble for the season too, as well. We are in the period of Advent right now. We're gonna finish up today with a small little message in the Advent season. As I shared with you a few weeks ago, you follow the teachings of the Armenian Orthodox Church. You follow these teachings. When you get to Christmas morning, and it doesn't matter whether you're going to celebrate on December 25th, January 6th, those are all secondary issues. When you follow these teachings, when you follow the prescription, basically, of how to love, how to care for others, every day becomes a Christian. And it's no longer this battle of, you know, what day are we going to celebrate? It's a matter of sharing God's love every single day. And here is our producer to tell you about something we want to share with you, especially during this Advent season. Thank you for all of your support, all of your well wishes. Here's Susie to tell you about a very special offer.
Are you in the Christmas spirit? At epostle.net, you can say we're always in the spirit, and we'd like to share that holiday cheer with you. Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, reminding you that your generous contributions have launched us to a worldwide audience. The Next Step with Father Vosgen, now in its fourth year of production, is the voice of Armadoxy on six continents. We look forward to your continued support, and as a way of saying thank you to you, our listeners, we'd like to send you the critically acclaimed Spirit album by Gor Mkhitaryan. Produced in 2008 in collaboration with In His Shoes, Gor Mkhitaryan offers folk medleys and powerful poetry to express Armenian spirituality in the 21st century. We'd like to offer this spirit to you. For your tax-deductible donation in any amount, you'll receive this album which has touched the hearts and souls of a new generation. Please visit our websites, inhisshoes.org or epostle.net, and press on the donate button. It's safe and secure. Or send a check to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, 632 West Stalker Street, Glendale, California, 91202. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Merry Christmas to all. May it be filled with God's abundant blessings for you and your family. Ջերմակ գեղեցկություն, ձյուն, համեզ շքեղություն, ձյուն, դարձիր ինձ ուղեկից, ձյուն, պատմիր մի պատմություն, ձյուն.
It sounds so good when Susie says it, huh? Well, we appreciate all of your response to this ministry, and we appreciate everything you do, and with just a small way of saying thank you and letting you know that, you know, we're all in this together. This ministry is really supported through your prayers, through your donations. I want to tell you something very simple that you can do this Christmas time. You know, take our ministry and pass it out. Give it to a friend. Forward the link. We have a couple of people who've shared with me that every week they download the podcast and they burn it. They burn it on a CD. One of them said he's got a mother that loves to listen to it but doesn't understand what a podcast is. So he actually burns it and gives mom a CD. That's pretty cool that mom knows what a CD is. Yeah, okay, no. Ken's like showing me a cassette. Where did you find that? Isn't that a relic? Doesn't that belong in some archaeological dig? No, no cassettes. We do make CDs. Anyway, a lot of ways for you to share that and share the good news that we're sharing on these podcasts. And we wish you all the best. A very Merry Christmas to all of you. We're going to bring an end to today's show with a small little Advent edition, as I like to call it. Well, by that I mean that we're in the period of Advent, 50 days leading up to the Theophany, leading up to the revelation of God, the celebration of the revelation of God, January 6th. And as I shared with you in the past, if you follow this period, when you get to that feast, you know, it's a custom in the Armenian Church. There's a greeting as on Easter, and there's a greeting on Christmas. The Christmas greeting is Christ has been born and revealed, Christos Zanavivhaid Netzav. And this usually gets thrown out like a sort of like a slogan, sometimes without too much meaning. People blurt it out. But when you get to Theophany, after following the teachings of the church during this Advent season, you get there, and all of a sudden you wake up and you say, wow, yes, he is revealed. Indeed, yes, absolutely, he is born. And he's not just born into a world, he's born into my life, he's born into the life of society, the life of the universe. And it has a very, very special meaning. And I know a lot of you who have been following this ministry for over the past few years know what I'm talking about, especially with the different programs that we have, the outreach that we do, and the outreach that we encourage other communities to get involved in. And this kind of outreach is really the manifestation of a faith that's deeply rooted in love, a faith that is deeply rooted in Christ's teachings. So what is that teaching? We talk about armodoxy many times. Well, we come down to a very basic understanding that God is love. You see, the evangelist St. John says it really plainly. He says God is love, and you can't love, you know, you can't love something that you don't see, God. You can't say I love God when you don't love your brother who you do see. So in other words, you have to work out that love in an equation that involves your relationship with one another, with your brothers, with your sisters, with your parents, with your children, with one another, with your neighbors. And that's why I'm saying if we can really get the message out, the message of love, you find out that, yes, there are alternatives to the violence. There are alternatives to the mayhem we've created in this world. And certainly during Christmas, we need to start focusing and really talking about this at a higher level because, well, basically the flow is in another way. The flow is taking you outside. It's taking you beyond. It's getting you to think about other things. Yesterday I was watching this TV show, and then at the end of it, it's one of those popular shows. I can't remember the name of it. Is it Modern Family? Is it called? I don't know what it is. I caught the tail end of it, and it just kind of hit me. You know, it was about Christmas, and they were going in, and then at the very end, the lady turns and says, after all, isn't Christmas all about family? And everybody, you know, has this silly look on their face, and everybody goes, yeah, that's really neat. Yeah, it is all about family, but it's so much more. It's so much more when you talk about Christmas being the opportunity for us to engage in love incarnate. In other words, on Christmas, on Theophany, Jesus Christ is revealed. Christ, the Holy Trinity, the Father God, says, this is my beloved Son. The Holy Spirit descends upon the Son of God. And for that moment, we as humanity have this opportunity to be part of that revelation. That revelation hits us. Once we have been hit by that, we understand. The evangelist says that God is love, right? So it is really love that is taking form. And so in the person of Jesus Christ, we find example of love. We find an example of humility. We find the example of sacrifice. And by that word example, I mean it is a way for us to live. So it is not just a question of somebody being born, but it's a way of life. It is a way of engaging. It is a way of living out the love in our lives. The very simple truth is that as we get closer to the Christmas feast, and again, doesn't matter whether you want to celebrate on December 25th, January 6th, or whatever date you pick out, it really doesn't matter. What does matter is that you celebrate this as part of your life every single day. You can celebrate anytime. And God bless you. Celebrate as often as you want, you know? But you need to live it out. You need to live out that message of love. The Advent season is the time for us to prepare ourselves and get ready for the revelation of love. Christ is born and revealed. Love is born and revealed. And if it's revealed, it's meant for us. We are at the end of today's show. It's been a pleasure putting this together for you. I know some of you have been asking about Compass. What happened to Compass this week? Here's a small little snippet.
Join our mommy while we spin the compass.
I think there's some promise there, huh? For future broadcasters. Podcasters, at least. That is Savannah and Alik Zadoyan telling us to listen to their mommy. She's coming up with Compass with Linda Zadoyan. That's coming up every Tuesday. Make sure you listen to that. And join us for all the special broadcasting that we have at epostle.net. One of our latest shows is called In Step with Christ. That comes out on the U.S. Armenia Network and is also available on our YouTube channel. It's all available at epostle.net. Just press on the button and you're instantly connected. Like magic. Yep, the magic of Christmas all year long. That's at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. So join us throughout the week, and especially during this Advent season. I want to remind you, we have blanket program, we have food program, and we have a toy program that you can plug into no matter where you are. Go to Amazon and check out the St. Peter Armenian Church page. You'll find toys that you can do. The only thing is, you got to get it done quickly, because we've got a deadline to the 21st of December, so we can gather it together and make sure Santa Claus has it to deliver it to those kids in the shelter. Yeah, you know, you can't mess with Santa Claus's schedule. Gotta get it done. And that guy, I don't know how he does it, but he does it. Listen to all the stuff. Everything is documented. It's all there. Epostle.net. And of course, visit our mothership, inhisshoes.org. For the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, and Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week, where we will have a special Christmas edition of The Next Step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.